Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's 7:13 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson with you this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you're not used to hearing me on the radio, even though I've been on this side of the glass, if you will, for a while now, I host Galesburg's Evening News weekday nights from five to 6 p.m. So listen in for that, if you will. We try to wrap up the day every weekday with a lot of news and interviews and interesting conversations, just like we do on Galesburg Live on Saturday mornings. And this morning, I thought, since you've been hearing on the morning show all week from local K-12 school district superintendents as school's starting to get back into session, I thought we'd go right up to the college level on this Saturday morning. And I'm starting this hour with Knox College President Teresa Amott, who is here in studio this morning. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Really, really happy to start the year off with you.
Glad to have you. When does class start? Is it started already or close?
No, we're on a trimester system. Yeah. So we have a 10-week term, and we actually don't begin until the second week of September.
Ah, that's much more easy on my mental state if I were still trying to go to college, that's for sure. But are you getting students in now, Teresa?
We are. The first group of students that arrive are the fall athletes. Of course, they come in and prepare for their contest because once we begin classes, we also begin athletic competition.
Right.
So the fall athletes are on campus, football, men's and women's soccer, cross-country, volleyball, tennis, and women's golf.
Very good. And hopefully we have some good athletes prepared to try to win you some games this year. Did I sound like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to sports?
Yeah, you sounded like a fantastic fan of the Prairie Fire.
Yes, yes, indeed. I'm a fan of all sports, really.
Yes, well, so am I. I'm in favor of all of them.
There you go.
We did have a very strong recruiting year this year, so we're hopeful. Women's soccer has been picked by the league, the Midwest Conference soccer coaches to win the conference championship, and men's soccer is projected to be second, and they are hoping to prove those predictions wrong and take the conference championship.
You know, and I was maybe going to ask this later, but since we're on the subject, I'll ask now. I don't always think of a school like a Knox or a Monmouth or something like that for an athletic program, but that's becoming, it seems to me, it's becoming recently more and more a bigger deal at least in recent years in terms of increasing enrollment and even just increasing the student experience, isn't it?
That's exactly true. And part of it is just the movement in youth sports that we see all the way from K through 12 now moving up to the collegiate level. So young people have been competing. Their parents have been coming out and watching them and cheering them on from the time they're very, really quite young. And they expect to have a strong competitive experience even in Division III, which is where Knox and Monmouth compete. We are the division of intercollegiate athletics that does not offer athletic scholarships. So students come to a place like Knox or Monmouth because they want to compete, they want to continue that experience that they had, but they are not interested in being athletes for hire. So it's a really a collegiate experience with sports.
So you come for the education and you stay for the athletics versus I think in some cases students sometimes come for the athletics and stay for the education.
Yeah, the Division III experience is quite different.
There you go. How long have you been president now?
Well, believe it or not, this is my seventh year. I do pretty often run into folks in Galesburg who say, oh, you're the new Knox president.
Even now, huh?
Even now. But, you know, when you are a town with the kind of history that this town has, 7 years is a blink of an eye.
Let's take you back 7 years. What initially led you to be interested in the job of replacing Roger Taylor, who I know is still involved with the college from time to time?
Right. Nobody replaces Roger Taylor. So we start with that.
There you go.
But Roger had reached a point in his life of retirement, and I, by the way, am looking at the same thing. You know, there's something about becoming Medicare eligible, but I'm still going strong, as was Roger at my age as well. He had another 5 years to go when he reached my age, and I'm hoping to match him pace for pace. But yes, I came out here partly, of course, the reputation of the college, its values, and also I was very interested in the connection to the town. I had come from an institution where the town gown relationships were very strong. They were built around community service. The faculty lived in the town. They didn't commute from far away. And I liked that residential character of the institution, and I thought that Knox embodied that as well.
You came from out east, correct?
I did indeed. I came from western, the western part of Illinois, which is where the founders of Galesburg came from as well. Yeah, not exactly the same town, but New York has a big piece that projects out to the west, and that was the area that I came from.
What I imagine it must – is it hard to leave an area like that to come to an area obviously smaller, or was it just kind of progression, or how does that work? Believe it or not,
the town that I was in western Illinois, was only 14,000 people, so Galesburg was actually moving to a bigger city. A lot of people said to me, how are you going to cope with a small town? I said, well, I'm moving to a town that's more than twice as big as where I was before. What I do miss is I was in a region of New York called the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. And so there was water everywhere, and also the Great Lakes. Of course, you were about an hour from Rochester, New York, or Buffalo. So I do miss the fact that you couldn't travel 10 miles one way or the other without seeing a lake.
Well, there's a lake here, sort of.
Exactly, exactly.
And you're a few miles away from a river, either direction. So
that's right. Yeah, I think we're still bi-coastal. Right.
There you go. So kind of evaluate the last 7 years for me now. How has it gone? And have things been different than you expected, as you expected, that sort of thing?
I think every college president would tell you that the last 7 years have been different from what we had expected, that the national climate has been challenging. I think many of us expected a faster recovery from the recession in 08 and 09 and expected family incomes to be stronger. And that has put pressure on everybody, not just colleges, but certainly, you know, the state of Illinois and its budget woes are well understood. So I think for many of us, it has produced special challenges. Small colleges have borne their share of those challenges as well, but so have the big publics, the big publics as well. So I would say that the big change in my era has been the struggle that we all have as college presidents to continue to provide education to families who are experiencing economic stress. And, mm-hmm. and in that regard, we were really pretty gratified to be picked by the New York Times as being among the colleges in the country, in the top 20 actually, that are doing the most to provide financial aid and to support leading to graduation and academic success for lower-income families, first-generation college families. And that's been part of our mission since we were founded, and we were just very pleased to be recognized for our ability to do so.
And obviously, as you said, it has been a struggle because of the mm-hmm. recession, but I imagine the last couple of years of fun and frivolity from the state haven't been very exciting either, although I imagine that that's not, I mean, probably a concern as it would be for a public university just because they're more publicly right. funded, but I imagine things like MAP grants and things like right. that really really kind of take a bite, if you will.
Well, we have quite a few students who received the state of Illinois MAP grants. The total amount that would be paid by the state on their behalf to Knox is $1.3 million, and that is not a small
insignificant
amount of money.
Yeah.
Right. I think I know Lori Sundberg, my sister president, will be coming on right after me, and I think she will say to you that the public institutions, despite the fact that we call them public institutions, have been receiving less and less state aid over the years. More and more of their budget is really coming from their students in the form of tuition. So even the publics, I think, have experienced the stresses of seeing the state of Illinois budget in such turmoil. But we're delighted to have received the funding this year, full funding for last year and for next year as well. So that is one worry that's off both of our respective plates.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine, too, probably maybe somewhat for you as much as it is for Sandberg, that having a having a foundation or an endowment or mm-hmm. things like that really, really kind of helps too when push comes to shove like that.
That's right. And I think the Carl Sandburg Foundation has been a very important piece of support for Carl Sandburg in our endowment, also because it provides a bigger share of our support. We've been very fortunate. We've had trustees who have stewarded that endowment and invested it, and we've had really quite strong endowment performance. But even then, at the end of the day, most of our revenues come from tuition.
And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about how good giving to the college has been a little bit later on in the program. Mm-hmm. But right now we need to take a break. It's 7:23. I'm talking with Teresa Amott, president of Knox College in Galesburg. And as Teresa alluded to earlier, in our 8 o'clock hour, by the way, Lori Sundberg, the president of Carl Sandburg College and noted local Knox College alum, will join us next hour. So be sure and listen in for that as we talk college this morning on Galesburg Live.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
7:24 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. As Galesburg Live continues, I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us this morning. Teresa Amott, president of Knox College, joins us here in the studio for this hour of the program. Again, Carl Sandburg College president Lori Sundberg will be here with us after 8 o'clock. How did things go over the summer in terms of getting prepared for the new academic year, Teresa?
Well, the summer is the downtime when we work on our campus and do a lot of facilities upgrades. Yeah. We completely gutted and remodeled our cafeteria, and now it's a sleek and modern new serving area, shiny, beautiful lights, new floors, etc. So the Hard Knocks Cafe, as we call our cafeteria, is almost unrecognizable.
That's also what we call the employee break room here, but that's another discussion.
Well, let's just say if you have an employee break room that is as nice as our CAF, then you are a very lucky employee.
Yeah. I'm not sure that we do, but that's okay.
Probably not. A couple of other notable things. We had a number of alums come together and build a golf performance center, which is one of those fancy places with a simulation area.
Wow, okay.
And that'll be opening later this fall in the field house. We had 10 substantial growth in men's golf, and we're in a tremendous building phase for women's golf as well. So we wanted to equip our golf athletes with the best training tools that they could have. The Whitcomb Arts Center, which opened in January over there on the north side of campus, was kind of came to life over the summer because it was inhabited by the College for Kids group. So we had a lot of really small people running around in that building. They won an award for the best metal architecture design in 2017.
That's amazing. Yeah, true story about that. I've worked here at WGIL a total of, I'm not ashamed to admit, 3 times over 15 years. And when I was coming back here for an interview to essentially take over this job in February or March, I'm coming in over the underpass on South Street, and I look off to, because I can do that even though I'm a newbie, allegedly, and I look over at this building and I go, oh, that's new. That's a really nice building that you've put up there.
It is, and we cited it in that part of the campus for the obvious reason that we were not going to put up a brand spanking white metal building, right next to Old Main. It would be too jarring. But it's also kind of in keeping with that part of Galesburg, which has always been a kind of light industry warehouse kind of place, so that it blends in a particular way. It has a great, really stunning views of Corpus Christi from the building out. So you really are connected to Galesburg, but it's a great building.
Is it difficult as you've kind of expanded and improved facilities and built new over the years to kind of balance between the look mm-hmm. of campus, like with Old Main and mm-hmm. the Alumni Hall and things like that, to balance that with facilities like having the Whitcomb Arts Center and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a college that is seeking to attract students, you do want to have a balance. You want to honor your history, but you also want to have a balance of new and up-to-date buildings so that the prospective students see you as moving into the future, being forward-looking, not being trapped in the past. What we've tried to do in some of the historic buildings where we've done renovations, Alumni Hall is a perfect example of that, that even though we had to got the interior of the building because of its, you know, age, it just was not – we weren't going to be able to preserve much of what was had been in there 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We put in historic exhibits, so we allude to the history – even in a very modern building. And we've done the same thing on the first floor of Old Main. We encourage people to come and look at that because both of those buildings have exhibits about the history of Galesburg. So if you've got relatives coming in from out of town, you want to show them something about Galesburg and how it was founded, come to Knox and walk through our hallways.
Do students, when they come to campus, or even, I imagine, in some cases more their families, maybe the students themselves, really have that interest in the history of the campus and in the area that they're coming into?
Very much an interest in the area they're coming into. Now, it may be they want to know, you know, where they can get pizza and where they can get their, and where they can get their hair cut. But you'd be amazed how many people are Lincoln buffs, and are intrigued by that history of the college. So, yeah, it does. Many of our prospective students will come in for a tour, and they'll get a chance to sit in the Lincoln chair, the chair that famously Mr. Lincoln sat in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small chair, and I can't imagine how he would have looked sitting in that, but. People are interested in that history.
It's very low to the ground, and I think it would be very hard to get up from. But maybe not if you're a prospective student than, say, you or I. But
correct.
I don't know.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's 7:30, so we need to take another break, and then we'll talk more about things that you've done over the summer on campus and what's new for this year and things like that.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
7:35 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, our second half hour of Galesburg Live this hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Will Stevenson. After 8 o'clock again, Lori Sundberg, president of Carl Sandburg College, will be in studio. But this hour, we are again pleased to be joined by Teresa Amott, president of Knox College. Again, we're so glad to have you here this morning.
Thanks again.
How big is enrollment this year? How many students do you have coming in?
Well, we're expecting close to 400 new students in the fall class, right? A number of them already on campus. Among the first-year students, we have two coming in from Galesburg High School. We have 27 transfer students who will be coming in with sophomore and above status. Three of them are coming from Carl Sandburg.
Great.
We are expecting almost 20% international students again. Of course, this has always been a hallmark of Knox.
Yeah.
The international students, and we're always excited to see them. One of the interesting things at Knox is that our international students come from many, many different countries. So this year's class includes students from, you know, India, Pakistan, from Asia, from Europe, from all over the place.
How does that happen that that you end up being able to, I don't want to say recruit, but at least get more international students here from as you said, all over the world?
Well, you know, it really is recruiting. I mean, we're happy to tell the story about Knox and its outcomes and what a Knox education can do for an international student or a student from any other, you know, from the United States as well. We do have international students who find us on the web, but we have an international student admission representative who travels. They go into what's called the fall travel schedule, and they go to college fairs overseas. And they also have schools that have sent students to Knox in the past.
Okay.
And he will visit those schools. Just yesterday I was walking home. I live on North Prairie, and I was walking home from the college, and there were two people consulting a map, a mom and a daughter. They're both from New Delhi.
Wow.
And they had the daughter is starting at Knox because someone from her high school had graduated from Knox about 10 years ago.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
You know, there just are different ways in which people find their way to Knox. The web helps a lot now to recruit.
It sounds like word of mouth is probably a pretty good selling point too, isn't it?
Always has been, yes, in many ways. The strength of a small college is in the relationships that we form, and those relationships can spread through word of mouth.
Absolutely. All right, so again, back to that incoming class. Do you I imagine you'd love to have more students from this area. Is that difficult at all to try to even recruit local people?
No. I mean, the Gale Scholars Program has been one of our important ways of recruiting. Many people who grew up in a small town think that they want to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'll give you one example. We do have a program for our employees where they can receive assistance with their sons and daughters' college tuition. And not unusual for someone to be working at Knox, son or daughter goes away to another institution, mm-hmm. and then transfers back in the sophomore year because they realize that the grass was not so green on the other side and that Galesburg actually it might be a wonderful place to go to college.
Absolutely.
You know the Gale Scholars Program. We identify promising students that are rising into ninth grade, and then we mentor and support them and give them a set of opportunities, guide them, and then give them scholarships, tuition scholarships, to Carl Sandburg and Knox. So that's a group that has always come in. We've had 37 Gale Scholars graduate from Knox.
Great.
Since 2006 was the first student to graduate from Knox. We had 4 graduate last May, and we have 3 new Gale Scholars starting this fall.
That's
so
great.
That's always been a great way to recruit, you know, the Galesburg youth that we are most invested in attracting.
And for folks that don't know, the students, again, are identified at Galesburg High School, and assuming they keep their grades up and do well, they can essentially go to both Knox and Carl Sandburg Colleges pretty much on a free ride, again, as long as academics are there. But mm-hmm. this past year, and we were talking earlier about maybe how the state situation at least might have affected Knox in terms of MAP grants. At least you're getting paid for those now. But state K-12 funding is still kind of in a really big lurch. I don't want to call you out here, but I just saw you shake your head and kind of a frown develop upon your face, partly because that stalemate affects this program in a very strong way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. As I think you may have seen some press coverage in the Register Mail about this year. We didn't,
or here on this radio station, if I may be so shameless.
because we didn't admit as many students to the program this year as in years past. Because
10 out of usually 15, right?
That's correct. Usually 15. We only could bring in 10 this year because over the life of the program, that both the institutions depend on the fact that students will come in with some state assistance that helps us. Then we make up the rest. But if the state assistance is waning, it is harder for us to make up that rest. And, you know, and times are tight. We still are committed to the program, and we're hoping mm-hmm. that we can find additional ways to grow it.
And not to say 10 isn't a significant number. And I imagine to a point where that's maybe a little good news, bad news situation, because maybe with the little lower numbers, each of the students can perhaps maybe get a little more attention that they might not have otherwise have gotten, right?
Right. I mean, I think it's a balancing act. They get quite a bit of attention. Steve Cheeseman is, who is, I think, well known here in Galesburg.
Sure is.
Is the director of that program and their top cheerleader and coach in many ways. And I think, you know, Steve, there's no limit to his energy and to the number of people that he can coach. As I said, the people who know him know that he's going to give his all to every student.
But in terms of the program itself and its benefit to Knox, as you said, and in terms of the number of students who've been able to graduate, I think that speaks for itself.
Right. That's right. And, I mean, we're proud of our Gale Scholars. One of our Gale Scholars graduated this last year, is going off to graduate school at Yale.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, Dakota Stipp. And so he is a shining example of somebody who he's a great liberal arts college example. He majored in computer science and theater. And I'm sitting here looking at you through a thicket of audio equipment, as you probably know. Increasingly in the theater, sound design, which is his interest, is highly technical,
absolutely,
highly computerized. And the fact that he is a computer science major and able really to do his own programming made him very attractive to one of the top sound design programs in the country.
That's amazing. Although hopefully, like you were saying earlier, hopefully he'll come back here and find out the grass wasn't greener over at Yale either. Maybe right. Once he finishes his program. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to some really innovative sound design at the Orpheum Theater when he returns.
Absolutely. hear that, Kevin Maynard? But no, that's really the perfect example of just how valuable a program like Gale Scholars really is.
Absolutely. We're proud of it.
What sorts of other things can we look to here going into the fall, Teresa? Any new programs or new initiatives starting up this fall?
We're starting a minor in arts administration, arts management.
Okay.
And I'm saying that because Dakota is a perfect example of that, of our students who have a liberal arts background or interest, but obviously are interested in management or technical fields so that they can achieve their goals. The startup term has always been a very interesting example of that, where students come together and start up companies. It's a kind of an entrepreneurship incubator. Those are programs launched in the last couple of years. We're adding some a minor in statistics, which doesn't sound very exciting, but those the kind of analysis of data that we're now able to do, big data, quantitative analysis, predictive modeling, that is something possible in that program. So it's, you know, I think we continue to add programs that help students bridge the career environment of the future and their classroom studies.
I'm going to ask a big, wide Larry King type question here.
Okay,
Teresa.
I'm ready.
How has, from that standpoint, you just kind of alluded to it with the minor in statistics, although mm-hmm. that still goes way over my head, and I majored in liberal arts, but how has the liberal arts education in general from that standpoint changed over the years? I imagine it's really kind of had to, obviously it has had to change with the times, but I imagine more so in recent times because of technology and everything else.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people don't really understand what it means to have a liberal arts approach to education. It's really an approach, and what it speaks to is two ideas. One, that you should be broadly educated. So you should be free to range across a variety of fields. The liberal comes from the idea of to liberate, right? So even though you might be majoring in computer science, you would take courses in theater, in history, in English, et cetera. So that's the idea of breadth and then depth. So you achieve mastery in one field, that would be your major, mm-hmm. but you are not confined to your major. And that's really the big difference between that kind of education and professional education or technical education. So, for example, you go to law school, you go to medical school, everything you take is law or medicine.
Yeah.
You go to a liberal arts environment and you are free to take courses outside your major field of interest. I would say that today's world, where it's almost impossible to predict what kinds of jobs are going to be out there when you graduate or when you're mid-career, liberal arts college education is ideally suited for that. And in fact, you'll see some of the technical schools are increasingly developing what they call liberal education components, that is, making sure that if you go to engineering school or something like that, that you are still broadly trained.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's been a lot of changes in that basic approach, but they all have to do with this notion that you should be broadly educated.
Absolutely. All right, before we take our last break, let me give you a chance to get back onto what I asked you about things that are new on campus here this fall in terms of in terms of everything, really.
We have some new summer bridge programs. We're bringing in international students earlier and providing them some of the orientation to make sure that they're successful, and also first-generation students, students whose parents may not have gone to college or did not go to college and therefore can't provide some of the guidance and the support. So those summer bridge programs are definitely new. We've renovated the second floor of George Davis Hall, which is the building that is right next to Alumni Hall on South Street, if you've seen that one, big giant ones. And what we're doing there is classroom renovation, and it kind of speaks to your question of, do you update a liberal arts education? We use new technology when we teach. And so those are classroom upgrades, that bring state-of-the-art technology into the classroom so our faculty can use that. We are raising money to renovate our science and math center. We have a very nice design that phases the work of renovating the science building over time so that we can continue to operate our science program without having to shut it down. All of this is being funded by some very strong donor loyalty to Knox. We raised $15 million last year for these capital projects.
Wow.
And also part of that is not just for capital, is what we call the Knox Fund, which is money for operating expenses. And it was the record. It was the most we've ever raised in the Knox Fund before. And that was almost $3.8 million that helps us support our budget.
I would ask if it's getting more difficult to raise money either from alumni or from the community or from what have you. But gosh, by that number, I wouldn't think it would be that hard.
Well, difficult. We have to work harder
to
achieve those results. Our advancement team is pretty sophisticated and pretty tireless. I mean, they're on the road talking to donors all the time. You know, a lot of time out of the office traveling the country.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take one final break, and then we'll talk about, I think, among other things, one of the first things I remember you announcing when you became president, and that's the Knox Corps program. We'll talk about that and some other things in our final minutes with Knox College President Teresa Amott, which we'll have coming up on WGIL as Galesburg Live continues.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
7:54 at WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. As our first hour of Galesburg Live is almost set to wrap up, we're talking with Knox College President Teresa Amott. And I wanted to make sure we took a few minutes, Teresa, and talk about, I think, if I remember correctly, one of the first things you announced 7 years ago when you became president was the formation of this, the Knox Corps program. Talk a little bit about that, what it is first, and kind of how it's grown and really, I think, become successful in the last few years.
Yeah, pretty soon after I arrived, I did begin working with Josh Gibbs from the Galesburg Community Foundation and Gary Funk, who was a resident of Galesburg at the time, about an idea that would place our students and immediate graduates into the community to serve some of our local nonprofits and agencies. And we did fund that. It's called the Knox Corps, and it's kind of like a Peace Corps, a little Peace Corps. We're beginning our sixth year, and we have both current students who do 10-hour placements a week, and then we have graduates who do 20-hour placements. This year we have placements at the County Health Department, the Civic Arts Center, the Chamber of Commerce, the Knox Prairie Community Kitchen, the Galesburg on Track program, Safe Harbor, the Y, United Way. These are all agencies working for the betterment of Galesburg, and they receive essentially an intern who has the kind of a Knox education. And one thing they always note is that our students know how to write and communicate, and often they ask them to play a communications role for those agencies if they don't have a full-time communication staff, or to do other kinds of work. So we're very proud.
And I imagine that helps get the. I'm sorry. I imagine that helps get the students really out in the community too. Because
yes.
I imagine it would be too easy to just spend all of your time on campus and never really get out and see anything. Right.
Right. That's right. And I think it helps to build bridges between the community and to build the town-gown relationship. We're unique in the fact that our college and our town were founded by the same people and at the same time. And so it kind of continues that legacy. You know, I wanted to just mention we had finished our last segment about fundraising.
Absolutely,
and you were asking if it's harder to raise money. And I said yes, and we have to work harder to do that. But we have – I did want to mention that we've been recognized by Forbes magazine for our success in fundraising. And they have an index that which I love. They call it the Grateful Grad Index. And we were third in Illinois.
Wow.
After the University of Chicago and Northwestern.
Wow. How
about
that?
For the support that our alums give us for their experience at Knox. So,
pretty good
yes,
company
it's tougher.
There.
Yes, it is tougher, but yes, we are achieving. You know, we're doing well. So
absolutely, that's a great thing. And I always have to say this when we come up with fundraising about Knox. The one thing that Roger Taylor always said, which always seemed kind of unusual, at least in the way that he put it, but made perfect sense, was he always talked about charting a course toward financial impregnability. And I imagine you're still continuing to chart that course, right?
Yeah, don't use that word quite so often.
that's really you know, his thing, yeah.
Honestly, in these times, impregnability is not something that, you know, we're looking for sustainability.
Yes.
But to be a fortress financially is tough to do in very difficult times. Yep.
All right, we have maybe just a few seconds left. So you mentioned at the beginning fall sports are about to start, and I imagine you got a lot of those coming up, right?
Right. Why don't I just mention one quick thing, which is on September 2nd, the Lincoln Bowl. Some of you may recall I often talk about that in our fall opening. And this is against Eureka, two colleges with strong connections to Lincoln, and Lincoln. This year it will be played at Eureka.
Okay.
Not at Knox. That'll be September 2nd. The first football conference game here at home will be against Beloit on September 9th. There'll be scrimmages before then. Men's soccer is going to scrimmage Illinois Wesleyan at 3 o'clock on the 21st of August. And our first home game for women's soccer will be at versus Co, and it'll be at home on September 1st. You can see the schedule, the Prairie Fire schedule, if you get online.
And absolutely.
We'd love to have the community members come out.
Absolutely. And I know you get a lot of community members coming out, especially for the football games. But really, you should come on for every sport Knox has.
Absolutely.
Teresa Mott, president of Knox College, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate your time, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Thank you. And again, Knox College president Teresa Amott on Galesburg Live. Stay tuned in our 8 o'clock hour. In about 10 minutes or so, we'll start a conversation with Lori Sundberg. As I mentioned, noted Knox alum and president of Carl Sandburg College. Stay tuned. That's coming up next as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL. Thanks for joining us this morning.